السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الرسل كلوا من الطيبات واعملوا صالحا، صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الغناء ينبت النفاق في القلب كما ينبت الماء الزرع، وكما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. الحمد لله، قد فضل كرم إحسان of الله سبحانه وتعالى. We find ourselves once again on a Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. One is all the barakat that are mentioned in the Ahadith and Mubarakah. And the other is the barakat that only students know about. That's a separate barakat. Last Friday of the term, last Friday of the year, students feel a different barakat. So, ayat of the Quran Sharif, the meaning of it, Allah Ta'ala is addressing the messengers. So Allah Ta'ala addresses the prophets, alayhimus salam. Allah Ta'ala says that, O messengers, eat pure, eat of pure things, and carry out good deeds. In other words, these two things have a connection. Pure food and good deeds. If a person eats pure, then it will be easier for him to carry out good deeds. If a person has to contaminate his system with haram, then it becomes very difficult for him to carry out good deeds. The effect of haram in the system makes it difficult for that person to carry out nek amal. The Hadith Sharif that we recited, Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that music creates hypocrisy in the heart. Just like how water causes things to grow, the crop, etc., how it grows when it starts raining, how everything starts growing, like that, there's not much work required. See, when it rains, you don't have to do much to make the grass grow. It just rains, it starts growing. The example that Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving, right? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doesn't just use words willy-nilly. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's examples have got deep meaning. The word is used for a reason. That how, when it rains, everything just starts growing. You don't have to put much effort into it. In fact, no effort. Like that, music causes hypocrisy to grow in the heart. Automatically, when a person listens to music, hypocrisy comes in the heart. Right? Today, we find Allah Ta'ala forgive us. Right? We as Muslims, we become like chameleons. One moment we're doing good, next thing we're involved in evil. One moment we're in the masjid, next thing we're watching pornography on the phone. One moment we're talking to some buzur, then we're talking to some girlfriend. We're sitting in a bayan, then we're watching a movie. This is like a hypocrisy. Our lives, there's no truth in our lives. One side the person is reading namaz, reading Quran Sharif. Other side is involved in interest dealings. One side, he got a big house, he's inviting the Mauli Sahab to come there for lunch and supper, and this buzurg is around, must bring him to my house for meals, but he's paying interest on that house. He wants the Maulana must sit in his car, but he's paying interest on that car. So one side there is good, other side we are indulging in evil. And in this time of the year, you find these two things are very commonplace. One is music. Anything, everything there is accompanied by music. The way Shaitan has spun his web with his agents, everything is accompanied by music. Whether it's a sport event, there's music. Is a funeral, is music. Your phone ringtone is music. Everywhere there's music. You walk into a shopping mall, is music. You're going to do shopping, they're playing music. Everywhere there's music. Right? And the other thing is this eating out culture. People just eat out. Anywhere. People are traveling from Gauteng, they're coming to Natal. Right? They're on holiday, etc. Now where are they going to eat every day? They eat on the pavements. They just eat anywhere. They eat out. They just buy. Alright, oh, this place halal. Alright, we just eat. Buy and eat. Right? Now, how many times we eating things that are doubtful? And we eating ready-made things. Ready-made. You don't know what's inside there. You're just buying it. You're buying that cake. You're buying that sweet. You're buying that chocolate. You're buying this. You're buying that. You don't really know what is inside there. Right? Because it's ready-made. You don't make it in your house. You don't know what went inside there. Right? You all went Cape Town anyway. You know, Cape Town is famous for cook sisters. You know, cook sisters they make. On Sundays, they make fresh cook sisters in Cape Town. Do you know what is the secret ingredient that goes into cook sister? If you look at a cook sister, right, the thing furthest from your brain is a nachi. You look at a cook sister, you don't think of nachis. When you look at a cook sister, the ingredient that goes into the cook sister is the peel from the nachi. That is one of the things that gives it that taste, the nachi peel. Now, will you think there's nachi peel inside a cook sister? Now, nachi peel, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm just giving you an example that sometimes a thing is made, you don't know what's inside there. You don't know what is inside. So, you've got to be so careful. Right, but when it comes to these holidays, and we just go crazy, just eat anything from anywhere, any restaurant, any takeaway, just eat anything, right? So now you say no, but he's a Muslim person. I trust him. Give him your money to keep. If you trust him so much, take all your wife's jewelry and give him to keep amanat for you. Do you know him that well? That you can trust him with your wife's jewelry. You can trust him with all your money. Do you know him that well? There you say, no. You have to watch and play. You can't just go give anybody. But your iman, there you say we trust. The Muslim, we trust him. So why you don't trust the Muslim with your money and trust the Muslim with your jewelry? I mentioned this. I think I mentioned this to you before, but I will mention it again for you to see the seriousness of what's going on, right? One person, he was not well, right? He had a diarrhea problem. He was feeling weak, not well. So he didn't want to go to the masjid early for Juma Salah. It was in this December month. It was in this December. This thing happened in Durban, right? Some years ago. So he didn't want to go too early to the masjid because he said now his stomach is working. So he'll wait for the time when it's just before khutbah, he'll go away, then khutbah, namaz, and then he can come away home. So if he has a problem, he's... So now most of the musaddi is already gone in the masjid, right? Now he's coming as a latecomer. He passes a Muslim takeaway. And there is a van that is from a haram abattoir, non-Muslim abattoir, offloading it. Right? In Pietermaritzburg, one businessman some years ago, he told me, he said, Morana, there is a truck that comes here to Raystock. Right? And they are delivering to a lot of butchers here. But this abattoir is from the Orange Free State. Who's giving halal certification in Orange Free State? He wanted to know from me. So I told him, I don't know what you, can't be man. That it was those days when there were hardly any Muslims. Right? And this abattoir was in a town called Castel. Right? These Bethlehem people will know Castel. They have to pass Castel when they're going to Bethlehem. So he told me, you come, when the truck is here, I'm going to call you. Because he's telling me that they are delivering sheep carcasses, but they got pork carcass in the same truck. So I told him, no, can't be. He said, when the truck is here, I'm going to phone you, you must come. And he phoned me when the truck is there. I went there. I saw the truck. I saw the pork carcasses inside the truck with my own eyes. I'm not telling you stories from anybody else. Like that, there's a lot of stories people tell. This I'm telling you what I saw with my own eyes. And I saw them delivering to Muslim butcher shops. Right? So I asked the driver to show me the invoice. Which abattoir he's coming from. This was before email. We were still communicating via fax. Right? So I sent a fax to the, I phoned to that abattoir. I spoke to the owner of the abattoir. He was an Afrikaner person. Right? So I asked him, I said, your abattoir is halal. So he says, yes. And so he told me who certified them and everything. The certifying body is from Cape Town. These people are in Orange Free State. So I said, how it works, your certification? He said, no, every year I just pay them. I pay them the amount and then they send me my new certificate. Nice. I said, okay. So I told him, can you send me all this on fax? So he sent to me on fax, on a fax paper. And in our last communication we had, he's asking me, he says, so Manir, tell me, do you know of any Muslim slaughterer? I said, why? He said, because the two slaughterers I had, they left about 2 months ago. He said, the two slaughterers I had, they left about 2 months ago. So I'm looking for Muslim slaughterers. If you know of somebody, you can refer them to me. So for 2 months, he didn't even have Muslim slaughterers in his abattoir. Now, can you trust this whole system? Can you trust this whole system? What is the need for us to go and eat here and there and there and there? We don't know what we're eating. Then there was an incident which happened to a family member of mine. Right? The person told me what happened to him. Right? That he went to the restaurant here in Pietermaritzburg. He went to the restaurant and he ordered a steak dish. So they told him that the waiter is telling him that no, you know, we don't have steak. Right? But then he says, all right, let me just speak to the boss and I'll let you know if you can make this dish for you. So he went there, spoke to the boss, came back, said, no, don't worry, we can make it for you. So this fellow was a smoker, you know. That one day his cigarette saved him. So, not a nice thing to be saved by, but that one day his cigarette saved him, right? So, he's waiting, now everybody is going to get their food, now he's going to take a little bit longer, so he went outside to have a smoke. When he went outside, there is a non-Muslim butcher shop 2 doors away from the restaurant. He sees that that person who's working in the restaurant is coming from there with a packet from the non-Muslim butcher shop. So when this person went there, so he went to the, he said, what's this? So no, the boss sent me to buy the steak. So he took it up with the owner of the restaurant. He was upset, right? But he should be upset at himself more than the manager or the boss. Because why we want to go and eat in these kind places? So then that person told him, who gave you the right to follow my staff member? He's not even acknowledging that, okay, but I did wrong or something. He's still being arrogant. Who gave you the right to follow my staff member? So these are things that are happening. Now I'm not saying it's happening in each and every takeaway and each and every restaurant. Right, but if I got 10 glasses of water here and I tell you, hey, one of these glasses, there's one drop urine. But you can drink whichever one, because only one got a drop of urine. You take a chance, now 9 out of 10, you'll be okay. Will you drink? You won't drink. Now one is the halal and the haram aspect of it. The other is the environment. Most of these restaurants, they will display their halal certificate. The music they're playing in the restaurant, who made that halal? The female waitress that's serving you, who made that halal? Ahmad is sitting on that table, he's looking at Yasin's wife on this table. Yasin is sitting on this table, he's looking at Junaid's daughter on that table. Who made that halal? The big sports screen they're showing the TV, who made that halal? The eating on the table and chair without any udhar at all, who made that correct? So there's so many other things that go with it. Even if the person have to swear that no, everything in my store is 100% halal, is that a place for a mu'min to be? Right? Now this music and this haram food. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not even informed of his nubuwat as yet. So there's no shariat. There's nothing that's halal, there's nothing that's haram, nothing. It's the days of Jahiliyyah, everything goes. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fitratan Allah ta'ala protected him. And you see a person who has got a fitrat salima. You know, you got an, what you can say, like a natural disposition. Automatically you don't want to go to haram. Automatically you realize that that is evil. However, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu that on two occasions, I went to some function. But Allah ta'ala saved me. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is grazing the animals, is to graze, you know, the goats for people, they is to pay him. Right? So there was another person also grazing with him. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told that person, hey, you do the duty. Right, I want to go and listen to some storytelling. Now in those days there was no TV, you see. There was no TV. So the storytelling was done by people. They used to act it out and do the storytelling. That slowly retrogressed into the TV. I'm not using the word progress because there's no progress. Right? It retrogressed into the television. In the same way, in those days people used to draw pictures. That retrogressed into the camera and the digital photography. But it's the same thing. So this storytelling was for the entertainment. Haram stories, woman singing, woman doing acts and dancing and all that. Same thing is happening on the TV now, in a digital form. So, Nabi Sazum said, no, I'm going to go for the storytelling. Now some of the storytelling was good. They talk about the people of the past or some incidents that took place in some other countries, etc. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you know, go to listen for some storytelling, right? So when he came into Makkah Mukarramah, he heard some music. Music is the tool of shaitan. Not for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but generally shaitan uses music to fool people. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard the music, so he said, well, what's happening there? The loud music happening. Then no, it's a wedding feast. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, alright, let me go see this thing, what this is all about, having a wedding there. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered there and he fell off to sleep. Allah ta'ala put him off to sleep. So Allah ta'ala want to save his Nabi from that filthy music. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam slept. The whole night he slept. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, it's only the intense rays of the sun the next morning woke me up. When everything was finished, he didn't hear a single thing. Allah Ta'ala sealed his Mubarak ears. So he woke up in the morning and he returned to the field. So his friend is asking me, what you saw, what you heard. Like, you know, he went to the town in the night. Nabi SAW say, I never see anything, I didn't hear anything. This is what happened to me. So that night, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went again. He said, let me go. He went to that same place where they're having the wedding. Now they were still carrying on. He went there, same thing happened to him. Fell off to sleep. He fasted from Allah Ta'ala, you see. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, after that I never went to any of these things. Allah Ta'ala protected me. When it comes to eating, now at that time also there was no halal haram. But people at that time, they were mushrikeen, they used to slaughter animals in the name of their idols. So one day Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is sitting and there is a person by the name of Zaid bin Amr bin Nufail. Right? He is the cousin of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. Right? And the father of Hazrat Sa'id, who was one of the Ashra Mubashara. So he is sitting with him and the Quraysh brought some food presented to him. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I won't eat this food because it's slaughtered in the hand of, you know, in the name of Mushrik. The Mushrik slaughtered in the name of the idols. So Zaid, he was not a Muslim, as we know a Muslim, not a Sahabi. Right? But he also refused to eat this. And he was a person, must know now if he's Umar radiallahu anhu's cousin, his father and Umar radiallahu anhu's father are brothers, right? So you also have some of that. So he used to tell the Quraysh, he said, Allah Ta'ala gave you the goats. Then Allah Ta'ala sends the rain. The grass grows. The goats eat the grass. And then you take this goat and you slaughter it in the name of an idol. Idol that you made, you slaughtering something in the name of that idol. He used to take off with them. And he shouldn't eat anything slaughtered in the name of idols and all that. He became very disillusioned with the shirk taking place in Makkah Mukarramah. He said, no, there must be some other deen. This can't be a deen. So he went away to Sham. He went and met one Jewish rabbi. You know, tell me about your religion. No, it's a divine religion. You're listening to everything. He said, alright, I want to become a Jew. So that person told him, see, you can become a Jew, but you will have to take your share of the anger of Allah. He said, but I'm running away from the anger of Allah. I'm too afraid to face the anger of Allah. You telling me if I become a Jew, then I have to take some share of the anger of Allah. No, this can't work. So that person told him, see, the deen that you're looking for is the deen of Hanif. So who's Hanif? Say Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. That's the deen you need to follow. So anyway, he left him, he went to one Christian priest. He went to him. Say, tell me about your religion. He said, alright, I want to accept your religion. That person said, well, you can accept the religion, but you will have to take your share of the curse of Allah. So we're running away from the curse of Allah. So then he asked that Christian person about this deen of Hanif. He said, there is nobody like that now. There is nobody following that religion. So anyway, he went and he met one monk. So he spoke to the monk. So the monk told him that, see, there is nobody around that can teach you that religion. But there is a prophet of Allah that's going to come. And that prophet of Allah is going to come in the lands that you are from. So you must go back to those lands and wait for that prophet. Now Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was already there, but the announcement of his nubuwat was not made as yet. So when he heard this, he departed for Makkah Mukarramah, but immediately he raised his hands to Allah Ta'ala and he said, Ya Allah, I'm making tawbah from all the shirk and I am following the deen of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. I believe in your oneness. I'm following that deen. En route to Makkah Mukarramah, he passed by one tribe and those people murdered him. They murdered him. He passed away. So later on, after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nubuwat and everything, so one day his son and Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, They went to Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and say, it's not permissible for us to make dua for people that passed away on kufr. But is it permissible to make dua for Zayd? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, definitely you can make dua for him. Because he passed away on iman. See? So we must be very careful. This music, especially in this time, don't go to places. One person, next person, inshallah, anim. He told me that, see, I can protect my gaze. I can protect my gaze. We're talking about going into this place of fitna. He said, no, I protect my gaze because my eyesight is very weak. So I just don't wear my glasses. I can't see anything. So I told him, fair enough, that's for you. But does it not irk you that you are in that environment? Who likes to sit in a sewage farm? Anybody like to sit in a sewage farm? Nobody want to sit in a sewage farm. The gunas that are happening on large scale like this in the beachfront and all these places is like a sewage farm. So who wants to be there? We don't want to be there. As a mu'min, it must trouble us that Allah Ta'ala's ahkam are being broken here. How can I be here? It must actually put a fear in us that what if Allah Ta'ala's anger have to come down here now? Allah's lanat have to come down here now. Then what am I going to do? I shouldn't be in this environment. Allah Ta'ala give me tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala give you tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala grant the entire ummah tawfiq. Akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.